Happy New Year, Tony. It's really good to be back after the Christmas period, really.
Yeah, it was a bit soggy, wasn't it?
It was just a bit. And New Year's Day was an absolute nightmare. The wind, I could hardly stand up on it. Poor old dog got bowled over at one
Yeah.
stage. I did walk too far, actually, but there we are. Never
Yeah.
mind. Anyway, all done now, and we're all a lovely
All done now. We
sunny. Sunny and beautiful.
we moved on from the windy stuff to
Yeah.
the very chilly stuff, and all that rain and the ground beginning to, well, the ground's actually fairly solid, means that, well, we have to look at the garden in a different way. Either that or be a bit patient, don't we?
I think so. We're getting quite a lot of sort of queries at the moment about should I mow the grass?
What?
Exactly. And the word, of course, is no.
Why would you mow your grass when it's this cold? I mean, it wouldn't do
It's
anybody any good at
ridiculous.
all, would it?
No. I mean, I think people need to have a little bit of common sense and to realise that, grass itself will come back. I mean, think of what happens in the summer when we don't get any decent rain.
Yeah.
Ha ha. And it goes yellow and then it goes brown. And then as soon as it rains, it comes back again. And that's the same in the winter as well.
Yeah, but I mean, there are other things. I mean, there are various things that thrive through the winter, garlic being one of those things. And it's probably time to plant a few more potatoes as well. But there are things you shouldn't plant in the cold weather. And of course, the other thing is, how penetrating is that frost that we've had so far?
Well, it's not. I don't think it's gone down tremendously. I haven't been out there digging, I must admit. But and the other thing to remember is that if you've had, say, something like a nice camellia bought for you for Christmas or a nice herbaceous plant, keep it indoors. Well, not indoors, indoors, but in the garage, as long as it's got some light. Don't attempt to plant it now. You're in a hiding for nothing for that. So hang on to anything you were given for Christmas, unless, of course, it's a house plant.
Yeah, I've got to ask you a question before we get onto the main stuff of the cold and what to do outside. Mrs. W's got, well, she planted some little seeds for bonsais.
All right.
Well, quite some time ago. They're sitting on the windowsill at the moment. They've thrived, and we've got these sort of very stringy little plants that have come up. The bases are going brown, which I'm presuming will in fact be the stem. And that, but what should we do with them at this time of year when they're sitting on the windowsill? Should we move them away from the windowsill? Do they need the heat, or are they okay
They
where they
don't need
are?
the heat, that's one thing. But
They
what are
do, or
they?
they don't.
They don't. They
Yeah.
don't. What are they? Does it.
Bonsais, bonsai trees
I
is all I
know,
know.
but is it an ash and oak?
Do you know, I
Or.
honestly couldn't tell you the answer to that. I really don't. I'm going to ask her actually at some point, but
Good.
I have no idea. But they all look the same, and say it's just remarkable they've come up from these seeds.
Yeah.
I know a full grown bonsai tree takes years to grow, doesn't it?
Oh, thousands.
Yeah. So here we
Thousands
are
of
with these
years.
things at the beginning, and they look so frail.
Yeah. But no, they will. You really need to find out whether they are seeds of an indoor plant.
Yeah.
Or whether they, you can do bonsai in those as well.
yeah
You can actually bonsai ivy if you wanted to.
yeah
But the majority of people like the outdoor ones. So the whole trick with that is to keep them not very warm at the moment. Just keep them cold. If they are outdoor ones, particularly, think of acorns that grow.
yeah
Because acorns, if the squirrel plants an acorn, it won't come through until probably round about February, March.
Yeah,
So,
I'll find out, and we'll return to that subject. But as I say,
yeah, please.
I was just curious as to what the next step would be. Would you keep them on the windowsill or not? And you've answered the question. And I think these ones are indoor ones, I believe. Wouldn't swear to
Okay.
it, but I believe they're indoor ones. They
Yeah.
look like they're shaping up as little indoor ones, but I'm told they take quite a few years to become recognisable
Well,
as
they do, but
bonsais.
and also you need to train them and keep them in a small pot and all that sort of thing. But we could do that later on. But I would like to know what seed she's planted. She must I'll have find got a out. Label. Grandma's got a label with them, hasn't she?
Yeah, I... What she does with her plants, I have no idea. She's the green-fingered one. Me, yeah, I'm okay for sweeping up the leaves, and that's about my limit.
Well, that's all right then. Yeah.
So now, I will find out, and I will
please
report.
Please do, because I have a guru friend who runs a bonsai shop in Brighton.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Bonsai, what are they?
they're just dwarf trees.
Oh, yeah, they are. This is true.
I upset my friend down there because I told him it was cruelty to trees.
Is it really?
Well, I mean, keeping them in a little small pot when you've got a blooming great acorn, which needs to be had of its root trimmed every year and then its top trimmed every year, and poor little thing.
Okay. I'd never really viewed it like that. I never knew anybody would get quite so sensitive about it. But I will find out a little more.
And, please do. I'd love to know.
Okay, I'll find out. Anyway, okay. Back to the cold ground.
Right.
Back to the cold ground, really. And yeah, as I said, anybody growing garlic will have had the plants in the ground for some time now. They will just survive the cold weather. But yeah. So there's very little you can actually do with the cold ground when the topsoil is actually pretty much frost.
Leave it alone. Absolutely leave it alone. Don't do anything to it. Don't put mulch on it, because mulch will act as a blanket. And we'll also keep the cold in as well as keep the cold out. So if you didn't mulch before the cold snap, don't do it until the cold snap's finished.
Okay. One of the things I've seen for jobs this month, of course, are things like clean pots and greenhouses ready for spring. So in other words, lots of preparation. But I also believe, I mean, you mentioned plants in pots a little earlier on. Mm-hmm. And... I know you have to keep them warm. Any tips on what we should do with pots that have got stuff in them?
Yeah, I mean, people don't think about that. They cover the top over with the green leaves and everything else, but they don't think that the heart of that plant is actually in the soil, in the pot, and that's going to get frosted. So the best thing to do, it's a bit late to do it now in the last couple of days, but if you can bubble wrap your pot as well as the other thing, and if you're putting stuff into your greenhouse, stack the plants as tightly together as you possibly can, because believe it or not, they generate heat, even in this cold weather. So the closer that you put them, the better. But then if you've got things like fuchsias or herbaceous stuff, which you've packed into a cold greenhouse, then just make sure that you're picking off any dead and mouldy leaves and things like that.
Yeah. Now, one of the other things I've seen here is apparently this is a job for this month, is plant now to boost the winter fragrance in your garden. Now, as somebody who speaks without a sense of smell, how important is that?
Oh, I think it's vastly important. It makes it, you have all the senses, don't you? The touchy-feely, looking at things, and scent and hearing. Mm. So you've got bamboo that rustles. You've got all sorts of grasses that rustle so you can listen to. And then to look at it, I've got a camellia, which is called Yuletide, which is just outside my conservatory door. It's green all the year round. It's a dwarfer one than anything because it's Camellia sasanqua rather than japonica. And at the moment, it's in full bloom. It doesn't mind the cold. It doesn't mind anything. But outside the front door, as I walk out, I have Daphne Bellua. And Daphne Bellua, the scent, I'm sorry you can't smell because it's unbelievable. So, and people walk past with their dog and they go, what's that smell? They're like the Bisto kid.
And the dog's going nuts because the dog's sense of smell is 100 times sharper than their owner's, isn't it?
Yeah. So Daphne's, things like that they're really nice. The Daphne Bellua started to come out about a week ago and it's magic. Yeah. And it's a little starry flower. But... winter box is another one. Now, that's good for a hedge, actually. If you've had ordinary box, you know, that got the blight or the moth or whatever.
Yeah.
Sarcococca, which is sweet box,
mm-hmm.
doesn't get that at all. And it's got a little white flower, and the scent again is phenomenal.
Oh, right.
So it's a thing to think about.
Yeah, it sounds like it, actually. The other thing with it is, of course, we mentioned potatoes a little earlier on,
yeah.
and garlic and stuff. We know about the garlic. That just does its own thing. Potatoes, most people will have planted some August, September, I presume, for a winter crop. And then, you know, there are more to plant.
I put some in pots. I must admit I neglected them.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do any feeding and I didn't do very much watering. I'd left them outside.
Yeah.
And I'd got a crop, which was not too bad, but they were very small. I mean, about the size of a 10 pence piece, I suppose, really.
Small.
But really small.
Yeah.
But anyway, they were quite tasty, and you just pop them into a salad or something like that. That's okay. But seed potatoes are actually in all the garden centres now. So you've got first earlies, second earlies, main crop, and so you go on. Keep an eye on them, because obviously you can't plant them now. But if I say to you, and listen carefully, chit.
Yeah.
So you need to
chit
chit your potatoes in old egg boxes on the windowsill, and then get the strongest eyes on the top, and they will sprout out. And then if there are some weak and weary ones, just rub them off, because you don't want hundreds of eyes sprouting. You
mm-hmm.
just want about half a dozen, something like that.
Mm.
On a good sized potato,
yeah.
So I find it fascinating. You don't need a huge amount of ground, and in actual fact, the majority of good potato growers will, in actual fact, grow either in bags or in specially prepared soil. So it's good fun.
So the bags, really, you'd recommend sort of buying sort of almost like grow bags, I suppose, for want of a better expression.
I don't. I use compost bags.
Yeah, same. You know, I mean, yeah, a bag of some sort to grow your veg in, and you reckon a bag rather than in the ground.
Well, I find that where I've been growing potatoes in the last few years, I've got a lot of keel slugs, which are little black jobs, and they burrow into the potato, and then of course you spend half your time digging the blooming potato bits out, but. What part of a potato plant is the potato itself, Tony?
Now, that's got to be a trick question, hasn't it? Because for me, the potato is the bit at the bottom that you pull out at the end. But I'm guessing there's another answer.
There is. It's actually a stem.
Oh, right.
It's a swollen underground stem. And that's why it's got those eyes on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones that you dig out if you've got a potato peeler.
Yeah.
Those are the new buds that are coming through. So the only part of the plant that has buds on it is a stem. So
It's
a swollen underground stem.
Yeah.
Rather than a carrot, which isn't, of course.
Yeah.
That's something different.
I kind of like the idea of putting them in a bag, actually, and maybe at some point we'll try that, because for the past couple of years we've gone and pulled up the potatoes, and invariably the little ones that you're talking about are the ones we miss. So we clean off the top, you know, and try and plant something new, and in amongst whatever you're growing will be these potato plants growing up from these little things that have remained in the ground.
Yeah, one of the things that's a good tip, actually, is if you get one of those, you know, an ordinary peat-free compost bag, which is round about, 60 litres, something like that. Well, if you have it, you can either cut it in half, and therefore you've got two 30-litre bags, which is enough,
mm-hmm.
and then tamp it down so that you've got, something in there. Feed it loads of potato feed, which is mostly potash. You don't want loads of nitrogen in it, because you don't want the horms at the top to go absolutely bananas. You want the crop underneath the ground. And keep it watered.
Okay. Well, we'll give that little method a go.
Have a try.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as you mentioned, it's getting to the time when you're planting potatoes for the summer. Anyway, onto things slightly different. The other thing that, of course, moves around in the garden at this time when it's cold, there are obviously some animals. There'll be hedgehogs if we're lucky enough to find them these days that will find somewhere warm to sort of be under. But the other thing above all of that, of course, are the birds and robins and things.
Robins lose masses of body weight at this time of the year. And I know they're chirpy little whatsits, but they are absolutely super. But they do need extra fat. And they love mealworms. So if you can get one of those sort of coconut things, which is full of suet but with embedded mealworms, they absolutely go bananas for that. They really do. Half an apple put out on the bird feeder, absolutely fine. I've actually stopped using seed completely, mainly because I back onto a railway and we tend to get rats in if I'm not very careful.
I was about to say that we don't live at the back of a railway line, but we had several bird boxes pinned up on the fences with little bits in, and the birds were beginning to get to use them. And then one day we saw this rat going across, walking across the garden, filmed it, and where did it go? Up into the birdhouses.
Yeah.
So we had to get rid of the birdhouses, which is an absolute shame. Any thoughts on what we can do, to attract those sorts of birds back? Not the pigeons, but the smaller, the more traditional garden birds, I suppose, of robins and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've bought some of these stakes with the hook on the end. So there's nowhere for the rat to climb up. I know they're very good at climbing, but it's not, too awful. They are little watsits or big watsits these days, to be quite honest. If you put chili powder down around the base, they don't like that very much, actually.
The
nastiest, hottest chili powder you can. They don't like the smell for some interest. Don't know why.
I'm keen on very hot chili powder.
No, nor me either.
Keep me away, I would.
But, and one of the things, if you have got bird boxes, of course, is to clean them out. Because the birds are all starting to get fruity before very long, aren't they, you hope?
Yeah.
I didn't
know whether if you cleaned them out, the birds would actually suss that, there's human intervention here, we better not come back here.
No, I don't think that's the point, actually. I think the thing is they get wood lice in there and all sorts of nasty. So I think it's wiser to take the old bird stuff out.
Yeah.
Clean the bird box out. But don't use chemicals. All you need is sort of something like boiling water and a scrubbing brush. That's all you need.
Okay. Well, we'll have another go with the birds and stuff and see if we can't reattract some of these missing birds back to the gardens, because they're quite important, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing too, at this time of the year, think about sweet peas.
Yeah.
Because sweet peas can be sown from now onwards. And they are very, very hardy. Again, you don't need to keep them on the kitchen windowsill.
Okay.
So sow them outside or in the garage. Keep an eye on them so they, when they germinate, you can put them outside somewhere. And sometimes, too, a cold frame is a really good thing to have. So you've got the frame with a lid on the top of it so that if it's really frosty, you can cover that with some bubble wrap or something and keep those little sweet peas a little bit happier.
Okay. Well, I think we're there. Time has certainly beaten us anyway. And lots to worry about with the cold weather. Never mind there's nothing to do in the garden in the cold. There's plenty to look out for and to look after and to maybe revisit as well. Thank
Absolutely.
You, Jean. Thank you, Jean, for talking to us this
That's
morning.
It's a pleasure.
Happy New Year again.
You too.
And let's hope and pray that, to say, this next year brings us a bumper bundle of stuff in the garden. Jean Griffith for now. Thank you.
Bye.